Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for joining me. And first and foremost, I wanted to thank you guys all for the amazing outpour of listens and ratings and reviews already for the show. Has been fantastic. We're getting off to a really hot start. I wanted to thank you guys all very much. That you guys have no idea how much that helps. We just got the show up on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. It's on Podcast Addict. All that other stuff. I mean, so if you're looking for it, you should be able to find it. Please, if you haven't, give us a rating and review. That is going to help us a ton, especially at the beginning of the show, just starting up. But just wanted to say thank you guys again. I know I spent a lot of time telling you guys that, but I mean it, and I appreciate it. So thank you guys for that. And today we've got a great guest on for us. We got the new managing editor of Stampede Blue, Brett Mock. Brett, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Matt? It's good to be a part of the show.
Good to have you, man. Good to have you. So today we're going to kind of come up with a little, I don't even want to call it a game, but we're going to go look through all the players first who were already existing on the roster, and we're going to kind of go up, down, or stay the same in projecting their game for 2017 as opposed to 2016, if that makes sense to all you guys. So mainly we're going to be focusing a lot of that on the offense. Obviously, the offense didn't change significantly. A lot of the defense has changed, but then we'll also go through some of these new additions and stuff like that and kind of gauge where we think they'll fit, how they'll help and transition some of the guys who are existing in there, and how they'll kind of work off each other and complement each other within the system and the scheme and stuff. So, all right, man, let's go first. Let's just start with Luck, okay? Luck, up, down, or the same from last year? Luck, 31 touchdowns, 13 picks, nice 63.5, I think, completion percentage. About as good as you can get for Luck with a few of those picks were on him and probably could have been avoided and stuff like that, but ultimately, we've got Luck in the injury situation, so that kind of makes it difficult here. But you also have him kind of working from the ground up with a second year of him and Schottenheimer working together. He is coming off his best all-around statistical season, I think, for the most part, if you kind of want to put it that way. But what's your thoughts on Luck this year, man?
Well, I'll tell you what, for me, I think statistically to expect anything other than about the same might be a little bit aggressive. Statistically, for what that's worth, if he finishes where he was last year, that's going to be, phenomenal. But to me, I think he's up in more important areas, and not to get ahead of ourselves at all in terms of where we're going to look and who we're going to review and how they're all going to turn out. But I guess as a bit of a preview, I think a lot of that comes to me having a bit of confidence in the offensive line coming together and gelling. So mm-hmm. with pressure being reduced on Luck, I think that he's going to have the opportunity to be smarter about his decisions. You might even see a reduction in the interceptions and some of the silly mistakes that your story on Stampede Blue, I think, did a great job of pointing out. And when those errors are reduced, I think you got a couple more wins there. So the most important stat of all, I think you could see some improvement there.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that if you can keep, I don't think there's anything wrong with 63 completion percentage. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that as far as I'm concerned. But, as much as we don't like to attribute wins to a quarterback, Luck, a lot of those first 33 wins that the Colts had in their first 3 years, everybody was saying, and me included, you know, those are on luck. Those aren't because of Pagano type, you know, type things. So the last two seasons, obviously he was hurt last year quite a bit, or 2 years ago in 2015. But last year, you know, even still, his shoulder wasn't great, but he was fantastic as far as I'm concerned all around. There was just a severe breakdown of everything around him. And to your point, with all the guys that are coming up around him, I think that this is as good as any. I think that there's going to be a simple reduction or a simple improvement in little bits and pieces of areas. But I think the real thing that we'll see is a huge improvement in his fundamentals coming off this injury. And like I said, with a second year with Brian Schottenheimer. So I'm not going to mess with Steven Morris or Scott Tolzien, but I'm going to go up with Luck. And I think that's kind of like along the lines of what you were talking about as far as just the little bits and pieces here, the refinement to his game, not so much statistical value of what he brings to the team. So let's hit the running backs. We'll start first with Gore. What do you think about him? Up, down, or about the same from last year?
Well, that's a pretty funny topic, isn't it? Father Time surely has to catch up at some time. And so ultimately, you're almost, you feel silly to not at some point to predict that you're going to see a bit of a drop off. I'll tell you what, you're going to see out of Frank Gore, and I might be in the minority, I suppose, in this, because I think people are afraid to continue to believe this. But in my mind, Frank Gore's still a weapon. So I don't know that he's necessarily going to be up. But I will tell you this. In my mind, what I see is he's going to be a key part of that backfield. And the only thing that's going to make him, and I'm going to call it a down from last year, and that's because I think that you have a little bit more of a crowded backfield, which is a good thing for the Colts overall.
Right.
But I think they're going to work Mac in a little bit. I think Turbin's short yarded specialization, you know, and even over the summer, they've talked a lot about Turbin's improvement. I think they're going to use him a little bit more on a snap count to try to keep him fresh throughout the season, which I don't necessarily like snap counts a whole lot when it comes to these guys who could be key difference makers. But I will say, I think Frank Gore's still a weapon. I think until he proves otherwise, I think that he's somebody that defenses are going to have to pay some real attention to. And if that offensive line does come together, you know, I'm not going to be surprised if he gets up to close or just over 1,000 yards again. I just won't.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think that his carries, like he's been in the 250, 260, 70 range pretty much all of his career. He's had some, you know, outliers and such, both higher and lower. But I think we'll see him at around that 230, 240 range, maybe in carries, maybe even a little less than that. But I think, you know, he had 4 receiving and 4 rushing touchdowns last year. If he gets to 1,000 yards, he's going to have a phenomenal year with that, because I really think that Mac kind of is going to bring something special, and we'll have Turbin back as well. Turbin, you know, played well, but we'll get to him in a moment here. I think that he's going to have to be down. I agree with you on that much of it. I think that we'll see his attempts per game go down to around 13 or 14, but I don't necessarily think that they will fail to use him in the passing game either. I think that they'll try to use a lot of those guys, both he, Turbin, and Mac, in a very well-rounded form. I think that they'll all three get plenty of attempts on the ground and through the air. So I'm going to say down, obviously, as well, but I still think that Gore's going to have a good year. I just don't think that, like you pointed out, that I think that the backfield's going to be a little crowded. I think they're going to have a lot of guys back there who can do a little bit of everything, and I think that's a good thing for the team. Maybe not great for Gore's, statistical outpouring for his career, but either way, it's good for the Colts if he doesn't get 260 carries. So
yeah,
let's move on to Robert Turbin. Turbin had a good year last year, real effective in the passing game as well. I think that I could speak for just about anybody when I could say that we were excited that he was coming back, just because of the familiarity with the offense and because he was such a quality guy there on third down situations for the team. Let's see, what do you have? 7 touchdowns rushing. He only had 1 through the air. But, you know, I just feel like he does a lot. He's a very well-rounded back, especially in the role that he's going to be asked to provide. What are your thoughts on him for next year? Up, down, or about the same?
I'm going to say about the same, and I think it's because there's going to be that balance there with Mac. I think he's going to have a role. But I will tell you this. What I like about Turbin is that he brings something to this team that reminds me a little bit of Dominic Rhodes, and they're not the same style runner, but I think it's more about personality. And when the offseason occurred and he basically said, hey, look, I want to be back and I want to build on what we did here, that's the type of personality and that's the type of attitude in the locker room you really like. So on the sidelines, a guy that's willing to work really hard, especially in those short yardage and goal line situations, I think that's a plus for the Colts. But I just think that it's one of those things where last year it was essentially Gore and Turbin. And I think with Mac, you're going to see a reduction probably in some of the carries as we discussed with Gore. But I also think you're going to be hard pressed for Turbin to see a huge uptick because of the same thing. So I don't know if that he's going to be, you know, a big plus, but I do see him at least staying about the same.
Yep, I'm right with you. You hit just about everything right on the head for me as well. I think I don't think necessarily that his touchdowns may even out. I don't know that he's going to get 8 touchdowns next year. You know, as far as scoring opportunities. Unless they really want to use him again in that same role on the goal line, maybe not. I just kind of see them opening that up to Mac a little bit as well. Not necessarily the short yardage with 1 yard to go. I just think Mac is a special talent, especially when he can find some breathing room. And if he does that, then I expect, you know, those short yardage in goal opportunities to kind of be diminished a little bit throughout the season. So I don't think that he's going to get quite as many of those opportunities. But I think as far as effectiveness and how he keeps the offense efficient with his role, I think it's about the same as well. So I like that. Let's move on to the receivers. We'll start with the receiving yardage champion last year, T.Y. Hilton. Man, this is going to be hard to go up with almost 1,450 yards. 6 touchdowns last year on 91 receptions. What are your thoughts on him?
I don't think he's really going to get much better in terms of yards. I think asking for that is asking a whole lot out of somebody. I also think the big thing here is, and this is a positive, I guess, for the offense again, because he's in a better situation, I think, overall from the wide receiver position. So you have Moncrief coming back healthy. You have him, and, you know, he says he's in the best shape that he's been. He's dropped some weight. I think that that's going to be a positive, and I think this is a very important year for him. I think that Chester Rogers could very well end up being the number 3 on this team, and I'm very high on him, so I'm not to once again get ahead of ourselves here. But because of that, I don't know that necessarily yardage you're going to see that big of a change, so we're going to keep yardage the same. But I see his touchdowns increasing, and I see him increasing because that attention that's going to be taken away from him just a little bit when people have to recognize the other threats, I think that gives him an opportunity for a few more of those big play touchdowns, not goal line situation touchdowns, but those big plays, you know, 30, 40-yard touchdowns. He'll grab a couple more of those this year, I think.
Yeah, I also kind of think that his targets will go back down to kind of where he's been the past couple, or the couple years previous, right around 130. I don't think that he's going to get that 91 receptions. I mean, probably as long as, like you said, you're high on Rodgers, I'm high on Rodgers. I think that this receiving core is very well rounded. They've gotten some new guys in the mix here, and they're going to have a lot of mouths to feed through the air. I think that it's more than possible for his touchdowns to go up just because a lot of those guys on those underneath routes are going to be getting a lot of action as well. And I think that you could legitimately expect, and this may seem crazy, but I think that you could maybe expect him to get around what he had last year, around 69 to 70 catches, and you know, maybe go up to as high as 8 touchdowns or 9 touchdowns. But he's really in that 7 to 5 or 5 to 7 mark for touchdowns every single year. I think that this could be a year where he scores a little more, kind of hovers around the 1,000-yard mark, and takes a bit of a decrease as well with his receptions. But as far as and this is kind of hard to tell. If we're talking about him purely statistically, I'm going to say down. But if we're talking about how his play specifically will affect the offense, I'm saying up. So, but, you know, according to the game that we're playing, I guess we're going to go down with T.Y. Hilton. So trying to find reasons to say up for him, you know, I mean, it's just, it's not going to work out that way because
it's all right.
Yeah.
It's like Game of Thrones on this podcast. We don't care.
That's right. It is legitimately.
We're saying down.
It is legitimately okay that it's down because I think that, like you said, means for better things for the offense all around and throughout the season as well. So we're going to go down on T.Y. Let's look at Moncrief. Moncrief, I mean, obviously, you know, his injury last year kind of kept him out for a lot of the games, but he was crazy in the red zone, especially inside the 25-yard line. You know, you have an opportunity here where you can go up or down with this guy. What are your thoughts on him?
Look, he's been in the league. It's going to be his fourth year, but he's 23 years old. This is a kid who I think it was one of the rare opportunities. I think it was a great opportunity to grab a kid who had the upside that he did. I believe he came out of Ole Miss after his freshman year. And essentially you're getting him now. It would have been just when he's graduating college. And he's had some experience, you know, the last few years. I think he's learned a lot. And I think that the injury last year really kind of was an eye opener for him, mm-hmm. because it was sort of a freak injury. I mean, it was a pot shot that was taken against him that never should have happened. But the reality of it is, I think, is a lot of times it's easy to sort of feel good about, yeah, I'm progressing, you know, just a little bit here and there, and I feel good about how things are going. But last year, I hope, gave him the realization that, hey, you haven't done anything really in this league yet. And you never know when your next 6-game, 9-game injury is going to happen. Mm-hmm. You got to make the most of your opportunities. So for me, that's a long-winded way of saying, without even talking about him as a player outside of what I mentioned previously, I think he's going to take a step up. And I think it's probably going to be the most important step up of any passing threat on the Colts offense this year. Mm-hmm. I see him as being an integral part. I see him going over 1,000 yards this year. I think that he's going to also probably be somewhere in the 12 to 14 touchdown reception area. That's going to be a key part. And I expect it to happen. I mean, if it doesn't happen, then it's time to move on. But I really expect it this year.
Yeah, I'm a little different than you on my thoughts initially. However, I obviously expect his receptions to go way up. I expect his receiving yards to go way up because I think that Luck and he are going to find a really special chemistry this year, despite the fact that there's a little more well-rounded look to the offense. I think his touchdowns are either going to stay the same or maybe go down possibly, and that's only because of the sharing factor. The one thing that I really want to see, and this is kind of a one-sided affair here, but when you look at his adjusted catch percentage and stuff that was on target for him, it wasn't really that great. And I want to see that catch percentage come up. His flat catch percentage last year was 53%, continued to go down from 61% in 2015. But I really want to see him snag more balls. I think that some of the balls that were thrown to his way were some throwaways as well, but still it was only hovering around 55, 56%. I really want to see him grow in that regard, and I think that that's something that he's going to do. I think he's going to be a guy who does a lot of catch and run in the middle of the field this year, almost exactly the opposite of what he was last year, where he was almost solely a threat inside the 25-yard line. I think that he's going to have a fantastic year. I'm going to say up because of how important it's going to be to the team. But I think as far as touchdowns, just solely on touchdowns, I think it comes down. So I'm saying up on Moncrief as well. Let's go to a little more of a shakier guy. Let's go to Dorsett real quick before we hit one of our favorites, because I think we both know where we're going with him. Let's go with Dorsett. What do you expect from him? This guy needs a significant uptick, I think, to be on the team next year in 2018, and maybe to make the team this year, because he hasn't done much. He hasn't been on the field in the offseason program and stuff like that. I think this guy has his work cut out for him quite a bit this year.
Yeah, I think he does. And I guess the only way I can really put it is that I would be surprised at this point if he made the roster. That's where I am with Dorsett. Let me make also clear that Dorsett is a little bit of a unlucky player in the fact that he plays for the Indianapolis Colts, because what his role could be, and he's nowhere near the talent, but what his role could be on an offense is similar to the role of a T.Y. Hilton, and he's kind of like a clone of T.Y. Hilton, not nearly as good. So once again, I'm not saying that he's T.Y. Hilton, but what I'm saying is that's the type of role I think he's supposed to play and that he was meant to play in an offense. And in this offense, he has the opportunity to be a great deep threat. But T.Y. Hilton to me is the deep threat, and you need to have those other players. And the other problem is that, and when we get to the other person that we're going to talk about here in just a moment, you know, deep threats aren't all built the same. They're not all the same size. They don't all run the same 40. They have ways of getting open deep for different reasons. And his reason is at least at this point in his career, has just been raw speed. And until he learns how to run better routes and find a way to get rid of these, you know, tremendous athletes he goes up against every week, he's going to continue to struggle. So unless he's in a four wide receiver set, I just don't see him having a big role in the offense once again.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be surprised if he made the roster, but I think he's definitely on that cusp, especially if somebody of note gets cut when it comes down to the end of the preseason. I'm going to say that I think he roughly stays the same. I think that it's disappointing, and you could almost by proxy consider it a down year again for him because he doesn't rise to the occasion like we expect him to. I think all fans and analysts are expecting him to, and I just think he kind of just does the same thing. I think he kind of flies under the radar, doesn't impress anybody, and I think there's other people in this receiving core that are going to take a lot of the targets from him because they, plain and simple, work harder. Make more plays and do more after the catch when they do get the ball. So I think he's going to stay the same. I don't think he's going to impress, but I don't think he's going to blow it either. I just think that basically he's just not going to make himself necessary, and that ultimately is going to result in either a just barely before the season gets underway being cut from the roster, or he'll stay on the roster this year and, you know, he won't be with the team next year. I honestly hope that he does, because he's a little more physical, like you compared him to T.Y. Hilton in his role. He's a more physical version than T.Y., built that way anyways, and he really has to prove that he can play that way because he has a lot of trouble shaking defenders, like you said. And that is not something that he can afford to do. He's got to play another couple inches bigger than he is. And if he can't get himself open and he can't get himself, to be on the same page as Andrew Luck more consistently throughout the entire season, then he's going to be gone. He's just not that special. And that's basically the end of the story on Dorsett. I just hope that he plays better than what anybody expects of him. So let's move on to Rodgers now. Rodgers is a guy that's, you know, last year was impressive. I loved him last year. I think a lot of people loved him last year, but everybody else who wasn't quite on board is on board now. Chester Rodgers, I'm going up on him. I don't need to explain. I think I've written 3 or 4 articles on him. I love this guy. He's definitely a breakout candidate for me this year. What's your thoughts on Rodgers?
I think I saw it when Chester Rodgers first showed up in Indianapolis that there was something special about him. There's a lot of players that show up in the NFL, and I've been to training camp numerous times, and I see, you know, people who they look like they're just doing drills out there. And there's something about Chester Rodgers that he wasn't there just to do drills and sort of fit in with the receiving group. He was there to start. Mm-hmm. There was nothing in his mind, and nothing in the way that he carried himself gave you the reason to believe that this kid thinks he's an undrafted kid out of Grambling State who has no business in the NFL. If you asked him, you know, he's going to tell you, what do you mean? I should be starting in the NFL. And right. And I think that he's going to step up big. I'm going to be disappointed, and I'll go further. I'll be disappointed in Chudzinski and the Colts offense if they don't find a way to utilize him, because I think he is a weapon. My arrow's up on him all the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you consider the late round chemistry that he and Luck built, or late round, the late season chemistry that he and Luck built last year. I think that does nothing but go better, especially as hard as he's worked in the offseason. So, yeah, he's going to be exciting to watch this year. I hope that he lives up to everything that we hope he's going to. So let's move on to the tight ends. We're going to start with the man, Jack Doyle. What's your thoughts on Jack?
Rock solid. Look, I'm going to say probably about the same. I think expecting him to like become an all-world tight end or anything like that is probably out of the cards. I don't think that's what the Colts need, and frankly, I don't think that's what Andrew Luck needs. I see him as being continuing to be a very important outlet for Luck when things start to break down. He's a smart, heady player who's going to find his way into holes and be able to make himself open, not because of pure athletic ability, because he's smart enough to sit down where he needs to. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to continue to have the same impact that he did a season ago. And I guess that's probably where I'll leave it. I mean, I expect to see what it was last year, and I thought last year he was fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, there's a good reason why I think that most of us feel that he is going to be about the same, because he has been about the same player throughout his entire career. He's hovered right around that 80% catch percentage, you know, a couple touchdowns a year, although last year he had 5, and that was a little bit of a special year, considering last year his overall production was more than anything that he had produced in his previous 3 years combined. So I'm excited for this year. I think that you've got a very similar season to last year with him. He's going to be a huge security blanket for Luck this year going forward. I'm going to say about the same, but man, if he is about the same, that's a huge arrow pointing up for the Colts roster without question. So I'm excited for Doyle, but yeah, about the same, because that's who he is, Mr. Consistency all the time, every play in, play out, every game. And he's a guy that can be counted on, so that's good. Let's go over to Swope, Eric Swope. What do you think about him?
Tell you what, this year is sort of the year of players, I think, who could break out on offense, and I think they're all legitimate. I don't think I'm being too much of a Colts homer to say. I expect Eric Swope to even though it should be Swoop, everybody knows, look at the way it's spelled.
Yeah.
But I think Eric Swope's going to really take a step into the limelight a little bit this year. He already got a little bit of attention as somebody who was a big play threat. I expect that to continue. If he's able to actually improve a little bit as a blocker, man, I'm really excited about him. And maybe it's because I enjoy the game of basketball as well, and I think these stories of these transition athletes is sort of exciting. But he's legitimate. I mean, what he did last year, let's just put it this way. There are two different plays, one against Houston and one against Oakland, where he not only got open for deep plays, he got open against cornerbacks.
Yeah.
And he's a tight end. There are not very many tight ends, my friends, who get open against cornerbacks in the NFL. The list is very short, and he's on that list. So my arrow's up for him.
Yeah, I think it is too for me. I think he's going to be having a very specialized role this year going forward. I think that they're going to try to use him to break a lot of coverage, coverages, especially zones. You know, they're going to want to play him around a little bit and, you know, kind of use him as a decoy as well. But I think that when you look at the role of Doyle and what he does, he is, like you said, he has so many play-specific tendencies that he does. You're going to have Swoop ultimately running the better version of what the Colts wanted Kobe Fleener to be. He's got more physicality. He's better after the catch. And he has, I mean, for all intents and purposes, he's got some really nice hands so far. And I'm excited for him. I think he's going to have a huge year, actually. But I mean, for him, a huge year. You know, I think that you could see him kind of fall into that 400-yard category, 3 or 4 touchdowns, and become a realistic weapon in this offense. And I think the best thing about everything we've discussed so far is that we think that the bread is going to get passed around for everybody to butter. And I love that, because that is exactly what we want to see out of this Colts offense. We don't want to see anybody being predictable in this offense. We don't want to see Luck being predictable, and I certainly don't want to see Chudzinski being predictable. And if that's the case, that everything that he runs is basically, you know, you take your pick. There's no design target on this play. And I think that this offense could be extremely special, like top 5 in the NFL special, without any question whatsoever. And I think that just the addition of Swoop being able to split the seam a little bit and to go up the rail when it's necessary, I think that that only adds to the intrigue and only adds to the firepower that, you know, Luck is going to have at his disposal this year. So my arrow is definitely up on Swoop. So let's kind of go through the offensive line a little bit and just kind of touch on these guys. You know, kind of hard when you don't have a lot of stats, but just overall ability, run blocking, pass blocking, and then we'll go from there. So let's start with Costanzo. Kind of had a down year last year, struggled a little bit here and there, struggled sealing the edge a little more than I expected him to last year. And I think that he comes back. He's been a very durable guy. My arrow's up on Costanzo. I think that the Colts would be in a really rough place if they hadn't had him the past couple years. And I think that he bounces back off of one of his seasons last year that, you know, he probably didn't feel like he played very well either. What do you think?
I'd say that Costanzo is probably about the same for me. And the reason is I feel like he's sort of shown his stripes at this point. I think that he had the outlier years were the years when he looked really good for a couple years. Mm-hmm. And I think that what he's settled into is kind of what he is. And I would say he's an average to maybe slightly above average left tackle in the NFL. I don't think that he's spectacular. I don't think that he has spectacular in him. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing for the Colts. I'll say about the same.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Let's run over to Jack Mehort. Jack, you know, dealing with the injuries in his knees and stuff, that's a little scary for me. That stuff takes, you know, I mean, you never know, especially with these offensive linemen. That's why I've been pushing for them to find a legitimate backup for Costanzo as far as to decide who that guy is going to be, because you could be healthy just as Mehort has been, you know, dinged up, and one guy falls into your knee and your career's over. It doesn't make a difference, especially along that offensive line. Scary position as far as I'm concerned to ever consider somebody to be healthy for out throughout the year. But Mehort's one of the best offensive linemen on this team without question. What do you think about his story in 2017?
I want to say about the same as well, and with the caveat that absent the injury, I would say my arrow would be up. Mm-hmm. With the injury and having to recover, I say he's going to be about the same. But given, once again, I think that he's an above-average guard in the NFL. I think that he's probably the best or most consistent, at least until, you know, maybe we talk about a couple others here that we've had. I prefer him at his position in terms of overall, you know, comparative ranking than Costanzo a little bit. So I'd say he's above average squarely, as opposed to where Costanzo was maybe slightly above average. But I don't expect him to take a big leap. I think he's going to have a year to recover.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think that he has definitely the ability to be one of the best guards in the league. However, I also understand that, you know, when you do have an injury like that, you tend to play a little lack on it, and, you know, things can happen. So I'm about the same on Jack, but I definitely think that he's got the ability to break right out and be a stud left guard in the NFL. So I just want him to be who he is. I just want him to continue playing the way he is, because I love how impressive he is once he gets locked into a defender. And I mean, he can basically move them wherever he wants to go. I like him being inside there between Kelly and Costanzo too. I think he fits as a left guard really well. And I think that that's going to help this offensive line. He's going to add some strength to that side for sure. So let's move over to Ryan Kelly in his sophomore season after a really good rookie year. What do you think about his arrow?
I think it's going to be one of those second-year leaps they talk about. I think that Kelly is a very heady player. I think that he did very well being thrown in, you know, to the wolves or into the fire the way that he was as a rookie. I think that he had some lumps to take. The reality is, I don't care if you play in the SEC. They talk about the SEC being the most dominant college, you know, programs in the country. That's fine. But the reality is when you get to the NFL and you start playing with the big boys, it's something completely different. So I think he learned a little bit of that this last season. He got himself a little bit in positions to where he could get pushed back into the pocket. And I think that the sack stat maybe is a little bit misleading, but sure, we'll hold on to it as right. Something to be excited about. But I just think that it is up. I think that he's going to be better in his second season. I think that he'll continue to get better probably in his first 2 to 3, maybe 4 years. And I think it's going to be noticeably better, especially with continuity going into the second season for sure.
Yep, I totally agree. There's not really much I can add to that. I think that not only is his error going up, though, this year, I think it's going to continue to go up. I just, brains, ability, and the fact that he's going to be with, you know, four other guys that he's played with for a year now already in the league. I think that continuity is nice, but I think they've got some really good chemistry, and I think that him running up the center there with Andrew Luck and his brain bouncing off of each other, that can't be anything but good for the Colts. So let's roll over to Joe Haig. What do you think about him?
I think that Joe Haig is a fantastic offensive lineman that has a lot of potential. I think that Joe Haig has an issue that until I see him prove it to me at guard, I'm a little bit concerned that he could actually be maybe the weak link for the line, at least to start out the year. I don't know what the off-season program looked like for him. I know that there's been a lot of talk about him being primarily used and being projected as a starting right guard. If as a part of that, he really focused the entire offseason on bulking up in the way that he needs to and focusing on his technique as a guard and guard only, then it could turn out great. I have no doubts in his ability as a player, and I think that he's a super valuable offensive lineman to have on any roster because he can pretty much play anywhere.
Right.
I think that I'll say this. I'm cautiously optimistic, but if you're wanting me to predict, I'll say about the same at right guard until he shows me otherwise.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that I think he goes up. I'm looking for his arrow to rise. I think that, again, you know, he did play with a couple other guys. He moved around from right tackle to right guard. I think he even played a little bit of left guard last year. I can't quite remember if he sat in there for a game or two. But I know that he has the ability, like you said, and I definitely think that he's going to be fine. I think he's plenty powerful enough, but I think he just needs another year under Philbin, and I think he's going to be fantastic. I really do. I don't see much altering his game. I see that he has enough ability to stay low and keep his center of gravity poised and ready to go, and I think that he's going to be just fine. I'm not worried about Haig at all. I typically would say, you know, if I'm not worried about him, that I would say he's going to be about the same. But I really think that, like I said, I think that Kelly is going to feed both Haig and Muhort there as well. I think that having such a strength inside of them, that's going to allow those two guys to really primarily work on their outside shoulders within this offense, both in protection and in run blocking. I think that Kelly adds a lot more to this team than just what he physically does to one other guy. I think that those two guys are going to feed off of him, and I think that's going to improve the entire line and make ultimately, I think it's going to make Muhort and Haig look better than maybe even that they actually are. So I'm still going to go with my arrow pointing up on him. Let's go with Denzel Good real quick, being a backup. Do you see him? I'll just ask this as opposed to up, down, or the same. Do you just feel like he's going to be kind of that swing guy this year, or do you feel like that could come from somebody else?
I think he's solid depth. I think he's your depth guy at guard. And that depends on Schwenke. You know, from everything I've heard about him so far, he's listed as a center, essentially. But I also did a breakdown on Stampede Blue of what Schwenke did and his opportunities at guard last year for the Titans, and I was really impressed with what I saw. So I think that he's going to be on the roster. I think that he has the opportunity to be one of those guys that's depth there, and that's quality depth. And I think that that's sort of a story you're going to have for the Colts for the first time in years is, oh, there's quality depth all of a sudden on this team, and that's a nice luxury to have.
Yeah, I agree, and I think he's depth at both guard and tackle, to be quite honest with you. Not that I don't think that they want to use him at right tackle for some reason any more than they have to, but I do think that he definitely can fill in there. And I think that if, for example, something were to happen to Clark, then I think that they may scoot Good into the right guard and put Haig out at right tackle. But I think that would be, you know, I think that would be the wrong way to go on that. Just my opinion. I liked the way he looked at right tackle in his rookie year. But I think, like you said, I think he's solid depth, and the Colts desperately have needed that for years. So let's move over to LaRaven Clark. I'm going to start on this one, and I'm loving LaRaven Clark. I think that this guy is going to be I think he has this year, and in fact, I just finished writing something up on him that I think that he is really going to be one of those guys that takes off this year. I think he's going to be as solid as they get. It took him less than a full season to go from playing in an air raid offense to moving into a more traditional NFL-style offense and being effective. And I think that is kudos to not only Philbin being able to work him in that way, but also himself for being coachable and being able to transition into that type of an offense from where he was at. I think that's a fantastic, like I said, a kudos to him, because at the beginning of the training camp, he was awful. And preseason, he was awful. Little bit by little bit throughout the season last year, you hear guys start talking about LaRaven Clark's looking pretty good in practice. Nobody thinks about it because he's not getting really any playing time. He gets in those last three games and starts and looks fantastic. And I don't expect anything different from him. I think he's going to continue to rise for at least the next year or two before he kind of levels off. And I think he's going to end up being the clear-cut starting right tackle of the future for this team.
I completely agree. I think LaRaven Clark was a pick that, and you see these picks all the time. TJ Green comes to mind. You look at athletic freaks who, based on what they are and what they can do, which is so rare, you have opportunity to have amazing potential even at the NFL level. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, unfortunately, especially for the Colts, that hasn't always worked out that way. Right. LaRaven Clark is working out beautifully. I expected nothing from LaRaven Clark in his rookie year. I expected it was going to take him at least an entire season working with Philbin and an NFL offensive line in order to get his hand in the dirt, learn how to block properly in a proper offense or a pro-style offense. And instead, when he came out and I heard the same things you just talked about, and he made – not only did he make an appearance, but he made the right side of the offensive line better.
Yeah,
that's phenomenal for a kid that has no business even taking a step on the field, in my mind, based on where he came from. So Meyer is way up on him. I'll even predict that he takes over at some point, potentially a left tackle. Not this year, mm-hmm. but I think that's where his future is. I think he has the ability physically to potentially go there. But absolutely, I'm with you. Right tackle from day one, barring injury, that you've got your right tackle for 16 games.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it was kind of funny when his first game starting last year against the Minnesota Vikings, I can't remember who the Vikings right tackle was, but I think I had an over under of like 8 allowed sacks between Clark and this other guy. And I just totally can't remember who it was on the Vikings, and then he ended up playing phenomenal. And I was just like, man, does anybody else see what Clark is doing right now? He was playing so good, man. I'm so excited that I feel overly excited, and that scares me a little bit. But at the same time, I'm really hopeful for this guy to continue to rise and stuff. So let's run through the rest of this offense and kind of look at some of the guys who've been added. Let's start at Marlon Mack. What do you think about him?
So for me, I do an awful lot of work during the off season on draft work, and it's one of my favorite parts of the year. My favorite thing to play when it came to like all the football video games was the general manager mode, and that's what I really liked, is developing teams. So I had a lot of fun with that. When I looked at film on Marlon Mack, and I tried to compare him with who he's like, because he's going to be a later round guy, he was projected that way. He's like a poor man's Dalvin Cook. And Dalvin Cook was discussed widely for quite a while, much of the offseason and heading into the draft. Is he potentially the most well-rounded back that there is in the draft? Now, Mack is not well-rounded, maybe potentially in the way that Dalvin Cook is. I suppose Cook could go in between the tackles, at least in my mind, maybe a little bit more often than Mack, at least early in their career. But you talk about an explosive playmaking threat. You talk about a guy that has the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. You talk about a guy that can split out and actually line up as a receiver and be a legitimate threat that you know defenses have to pay attention to from year one. He has that potential, and I think it's going to be a big difference having him in there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that he does a lot of things. I think he takes a little bit of everything this year, but I don't think that he has such a large package in this offense that anybody can really legitimately put any serious expectations on him. I think he'll take maybe 5 to 7 snaps as a running back. I think that he'll come in maybe 5 to 7 times a game as a receiver, and I mean as a receiver out of the backfield. But he also allows a little bit more outside of the formation as well. If Luck wants to split him out or throw him in the slot or something like that, that adds a really nice dynamic to this offense that I don't think we've seen since maybe, you know, who I like to kind of relay him to is Donald Brown in his contract year. I think that he can provide something like that type of spark to this offense. And if he can just do a little bit of that, just a couple big plays, maybe a couple touchdowns, and, you know, be a nice guy with about 6 to 7 yards, you know, per carry on the ground with limited action, I think that you've got something special started with him. I think that you get him acclimated in the offense this year just a little bit, give him some pieces and a taste, and then next year I think that we can expect some sort of an explosion. Let's roll over to Kamar Aiken. What do you think about what do you think he brings this year? I mean, he's one of the most interesting pieces to this offense, I think, because when you look at the rest of the wide receiver core we've talked about, a lot of mouths to feed. I mean, we've said that at least 3 or 4 times just on this show. And, you know, you bring Aiken, a guy in who's really only got one real quality season under him, but he adds a little bit to the red zone. You know, he adds a little bit to the middle of the field. And he ultimately, at least for what we think, at least for what his potential brings, we know that that guy can be a very relied upon pass catcher for Andrew Luck. And when you add in Rodgers and Moncrief and Hilton, I mean, Luck could just basically be in a position this year where, you know, I have no intended target. Whoever's open first, I'm getting the ball to him. You know, I mean, I really hope that Aiken can provide that. I don't know what to expect from him, though. I really don't. Because like we've talked about earlier, and, you know, with Chester Rogers, I think that he has the ability to actually climb into that number 3 role. But I also think that they may want to keep him out of it because Aiken's a bit stout, you know, compared to Rodgers. He prevents a little more of a physical presence. And I think they like Rodgers going up the rail and in those deep 15-yard ends and some of the longer crossing patterns and stuff like that, whereas I don't think that that's really going to be Aiken's strong suit. So I think that Rodgers will probably ride in that fourth role, but I think that, you know, there's going to be opportunities for Rodgers to climb into that. But I think that Aiken brings, if nothing else, stability. I'm not expecting a huge statistical year from him this year. And if anything, I think it could be reminiscent of last year's Moncrief season where not a lot of yardage, but, you know, I mean, without being injured, of course, not a lot of yardage, not a ton of catches, but has 4 or 5 touchdowns or something like that. Turns out to be a really nice target or something inside of the red zone. What do you think?
Yeah, I see him as being potentially, you know, a few things. First of all, I see him being in a goal line package. If you want to bring him in to replace even a Chester Rogers, not that I don't think Rogers has ability at the goal line, but I think that Aiken has a particular ability there with his size to take advantage. And across from Moncrief, man, that's a nasty combination to put in there. Mm-hmm. With T.Y. even in the middle, I mean, imagine that. What are you going to do? You're going to have to pick, you know, who you're going to go up against. But I see that being a benefit. I also see him as potentially being the possession type receiver, just because of the big body. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that happens, because it depends on Chudzinski and what Roy wants to put him in. But I think that he could be one of those players. I think that more importantly, I see him, because I'm as high on Rodgers as I am, and I'm not going to go back on that, I see him as a quality depth and rotational player that's probably going to get somewhere along the lines of 15 to 20% of the snaps based upon different formations, circumstances, and spelling players just to get him a breather. Mm-hmm. That's what I see. And I think that's an important thing to have, because otherwise you have somebody who's a liability on the field, and I think he presents someone who is not that.
Yeah. I tend to agree. I think that's a great explanation. He's going to add something. You know, it could be as something as weak as, you know, just, you know, a 15 to 30 reception year and not really provide a lot. But that kind of a, you know, that possession guy that allows you just to get him a couple passes, you know, every so often, you know, I think that says a lot more about what he can actually bring to the offense as a whole. So I don't really know what to expect from the guy. Like I said, I think that he gets himself some touchdowns, but I don't see a humongous role from him for some reason. Let's roll over to Brandon Williams, the tight end that came in. This guy's caught like five balls his entire career. What do you think about him? I think that my thought is that he is fairly just a strict blocking tight end. I think that they'll use him in the passing game a little bit, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of excitement around him. I think that he is a blocking tight end. I think he comes in. I don't think we hear his name a lot this year, but I think he can play well. I did like what I saw him on tape. He can catch the ball. So I think he's just one of those guys that goes under the radar and doesn't get a lot talked about nationally. I think that he may turn out to be a fan favorite for what we notice from him after breaking down some of his blocking and the few catches that he may make this year. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts is that he's in a fight for the roster here with Darryl Daniels. And I think that a lot of it's going to have to do with he's going to be very well served, although the Colts won't be, if there is an inability of Doyle and Swope to improve his blockers. You know, Doyle's an okay blocker. He's not fantastic. He's okay. But if they have, you know, difficulties improving in those areas and we have a real weakness there, then he might find himself on the roster because they need somebody to put in that tight end role that they want to have that ability. Mm-hmm. If, on the other hand, he's not lucky and both of those players take a step up, and particularly Swope, if he can be a plus blocker on top of the fact that I think he has the receiving ability that he does, then that gives Darryl Daniels a little bit of a leg up on him because they might be able to say, well, let's go ahead and keep the guy who we think projects better as another receiving threat. So I think it really comes down to how things go this summer to determine, you know, which of those two comes out of it. And so he needs some luck, I think, in order to get there.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I just don't know if Darryl Daniels presents the blocking prowess that Williams does when he comes in. I think Daniels is a little less physical than we expect, at least at the line of scrimmage. So I think that there's, you know, it comes down to, you know, preference for the Colts and what they want. I think they need that blocking tight end, and I don't think that they can afford to use Doyle solely as that blocking tight end because you don't want to take away from his production and how good he is with the ball in his hands. We kind of touched on Schwenke just a little bit, but we'll stop for the offense on him. I expect him to have, you know, similar to a Denzel Good role. I think that guy is going to be somewhat of a utility role guy. I don't see him, you know, filling in much other than for, you know, some minor injury weeks or something like that. But I think that he's a guy who can play all three interior offensive line positions. And I don't think that the offensive line would skip much of a beat with him in there. What do you think?
I agree. I tell you what, here's the plus for me. Here's where he presents an advantage to the Colts offense, and that is if Jonathan Harrison's not on the team, then the offensive line just got better. So
yeah.
I think that Brian Schwenke is clearly an upgrade over Harrison. I think that he was the weak link in the last four-game stretch when he had to take over. And I think Schwenke presents an opportunity to have a player who's not only going to be able to make an impact potentially in, you know, rotational role. When somebody does go down, you bring in a veteran who's ready to be there. If necessary, he could fill in and do well. And he's not going to have that huge drop-off. So that's a plus for the Colts. It's a great sign. Under the radar, no one thinks anything about him. Probably, you know, some people are still like Schwenke, who I think I vaguely remember we signed somebody off the Titans. But other than that, you know, I see him being a plus overall for the team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that he's going to be a very important part to this offense, like we've talked about with Good, as far as being that quality backup. And it's something that the Colts have not had in a while, and it's something they've desperately needed. So, Brett, we're going to come back tomorrow and do the defense, man. Thank you for joining me here with the offensive group and kind of running through these guys. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you guys are getting over to iTunes or Apple Podcasts and giving us a rating and review on these shows. Those help tremendously. Brett, is there anything that you wanted to plug, man, for the site before we head out of here?
I just really appreciate anybody that's listening to the podcast to go to Stampede Blue, continue to support what we're doing there. We're really excited, Matt, of course, having you be a part of Stampede Blue and continuing to step up. I'm really excited to have you. The podcast is going great, and so I look forward to it. So we look forward to seeing more people there.
Absolutely. Great. You know, we can always dive into the comment section, but this is great for people to be able to hear kind of what we want. I like that we've got some inclusive things going on with our readers and stuff like that. And I think that that's nothing but good for the site as well. So thank you guys all for listening, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow right here on the Stampede Blue Colts Cast.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.